I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 11. We will venture to the world of NASCAR, but we're going to venture back in time. 50 years ago, as a matter of fact, to 1975. And to the great Junior Johnson, who had Cale Yarborough driving for him at the time, in the number 11 Holly Farm sponsored car. Chevy Monte Carlo.
We like Holly Farms.
Car looked like a creamsicle. It was awesome. The best thing about this, though, is after this sponsorship, so that lasted for like 2 years and then came back eventually, but they went to Busch Beer after this in 1979. Oh, not saying Busch Beer is awesome, but I just said it looked good on the car.
If they could just allow tobacco products on the cars, I would be all for that. I know it's very controversial.
Tobacco, booze,
advertise.
No restrictor plates. No stage racing, and no pit lane. No pit lane speed limit. And no chase. That's where we're gonna go. And I think the crews should all wear non-flame retardant no fire suits.
There should be bonus points for who can build the highest fuel tower.
Bonus points for the highest fuel tower. And you get, you know what you should get? You should get, wrist points. So it's like, you know, like 1,000 points if your refueler, if the fuel guy is smoking a cigarette when he's fueling.
Oh, no. It's not risk points. It's a risk multiplier.
Risk multiplier, yeah. So the guy lights, the guy's blazing up, but he's doing a smoke while he's doing it. And I will give 2,000 points to the guys on the outside of the car. So that would be the right side of the car. The outside jack, well, not so much the jack man, but the outside tire changer. If he comes across the front and slides across the hood, I want that.
Style point.
That's very Super Formula-ish, because in Super Formula, there's apparently one team where one of the tire changes jumps across the car.
Yes, that, I don't think they do that.
Did they outlaw that?
No. They didn't outlaw it. They changed the way you do pit stops or how many people you're allowed to do pit stops. So it's not, they don't have to leap across the car anymore.
Oh, that's too bad. I like that though.
Everyone does.
Because I'm not into this. I don't like, it's like an Indy car when the guy does the, especially on Penske, they do the, look at me, huck the gun behind the car, you know? I hate that crap.
And just slam it on the ground?
Slam it on the ground. Just because you guys can afford those guns, whereas like, you know, the Honkos team couldn't, you know? How about this? Just get the gun out of the way. Why don't they use pick gantry guns? Like, you know, in WEC, when they have the guns, you know, you come over. Well, WEC, no, because you get to change them. But you know that thing I'm telling you, talking about?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. The rod that pulls out and then...
Yeah, the gantry.
It pivots around that. Yeah. So it swings around, so it's not going to hit the car, which is fine.
Right. I 100% agree with that. Anyways, all right, I digress. That's you know, we'll get back to that someday.
We've solved racing.
We celebrate, yeah. We need Nate here to be here for it. But anyway, so that's cool. Oh, man. Car looks awesome. Looks fast, too. Oh. It's got the Winston cigarette sticker. That's awesome. Anyways, all right, what's up? We're going to talk NASCAR this week at Bristol. It was a day race. I'm not a big fan of the day race. And anyways, we'll get to that in a second. IMSA on the streets of Long Beach. Decent race.
Wait. We're starting with IMSA instead of NASCAR?
No, NASCAR. No, we're starting with NASCAR. I'm going through the list of things.
Oh, sorry.
We'll you know, from NASCAR to IMSA.
I've jumped ahead.
And then we'll talk IndyCar in Long Beach. Interesting race. I have some questions for you there on that. And then we will talk F1 in Bahrain.
All right. NASCAR air was super easy. So I think I could do
NASCAR was super easy. Green flag. Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially dominated this race once he got the lead. He started fifth.
Now, because I didn't watch it, and I think we clarified this the other week, he won, but this race was not on dirt?
No, it was not on dirt. It was on the traditional concrete at Bristol.
All right.
He won this race, and it was a fairly caution-free race outside of the well, there were a couple cautions, and then we had the stage caution, which sucked. So, anyways, but Larson went to the top. So it was basically what he did in Homestead, except he did it on a short track. And he ran up there. Boom. And the only one that could stay with him was Denny. But Denny could never close on him. That was the thing. Mm-hmm. So Larson gets the win. Beats NASCAR's most hated driver. Well, one of NASCAR's most hated drivers. Denny Boo Hamlin. Ty Gibbs. Ugh. God, it was like Joe Gibbs Racing 2-3. Ugh. Chase Briscoe on Gibbs.
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll have to get Nate when he gets back. Ryan Blaney was fifth. William Byron in the points again. Ross Chastain, Christopher Bell, Byron Bell, Briscoe. Those guys just keep popping up. The Dinger with a ninth place finish. Oh. And Nate's favorite driver, Austin Dillon, somehow got 10th. Now, my favorite driver, where did he finish? Joey Logano, 24th. Wow.
Seems like a very cherry-picked stat there.
Yeah, it was. I'm just kind of looking at this. You know, Penske should just drop their IndyCar and NASCAR programs and just focus on IMSA and World Endurance.
I mean,
we'll get to that.
I mean, Penske's performance in IndyCar this weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
So, interesting. There's no NASCAR race this weekend.
What? We get a week off?
It's Easter.
Oh, that's right.
It's Easter. Now, you know. So.
I forgot to line it up like that.
Yeah. So, it's a religious weekend, and the good God-fearing people. So, they come back strong the last weekend of April, April 27th, at Talladega. It's just a short drive for you. You could go.
I could. And it's...
If the World Traveler was in town, you could go with him.
I know. I brought... Well, initially, I thought he was going to be off the boat by this time.
But, yeah.
And this was a race we were talking about.
Talking about going to. And this is even better. It's the Jack Lynx 500.
So just beef jerky all day.
Yeah, like how much free beef jerky are they going to be giving out at this thing? Like this is back in like 1970s when they were giving out free smokes, you know? They're going to just give out free beef jerky. That'll be fun. Oh, and also with Larson this weekend, he did try and do the triple, but he won the Xfinity race this time.
Right.
So the last two times he's done the triple, he's taken two out of three.
How'd he do in the trucks?
It was the inverse of Homestead, where in the trucks he dominated, in the Xfinity he dominated, but in trucks there was a restart and it wasn't leading, but he got kind of shuffled back.
Oh.
So, anyways. All right, here's the trucks. It was the WeatherGuard. Oh, I should say, hold on. Let me rephrase that. Yeah, he got shuffled back second.
Wow.
Hold on. Finished first in Cup, first in the Xfinity, and second in the truck. I guess that's a full weekend. All right. I don't know if he fit in a high limits race or World Outlaws race, and I don't think he did, but. I love them. The best. All right. Let's move on to IMSA. Still can't find the result. Why can't I find the result? I just had them.
You don't even need to pull up the results. It's very simple.
No,
race results.
No, I do. No, because all the IMSA website's starting to really piss me off.
I just go to...
Anyway, I go to motorsports.com and get it.
Alcomel?
Yeah. That's the best. I love watching that during the race, but that's good during the race. The other thing that's good during the race that IMSA has for the prototypes is the energy one.
The energy?
Have you been to that webpage? So it shows the gas and the hybrid.
Oh.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Where do they do that again?
It's on one of the IMSA pages.
Oh,
I'll get you the link and send it to you. It's actually kind of cool. So when I have the complete command station up, so I have like my laptop and the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's good. And then occasionally I can find stuff on the phone if I need it. Anyways, qualifying BMW 1-2.
Yeah.
They're making strides with that car.
I think they've taken
pole in all three races. They just haven't won. Whereas Penske and the Porsches have won all three races.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nasr and Tandy, I don't know if they're gonna go for this. Well, it was Nasr and Tandy with Vantor in the first two races, and it was Nasr and Tandy in this race, but then Vantor won in GTD.
Yeah, that's right.
It was in Racci.
Yeah.
It was a mediocre. I'm gonna just say a mediocre weekend for. I'll get the Penske in a minute, but mediocre for Cadillac. I mean, they did the wheel and carb rebounded to finish fourth. But the two BMWs finished third and fifth. Then we had two of the Cadillacs. But this is the kicker. In eighth place. Eighth. Get a guess?
The Valkyrie.
And the funny thing about that was it held off. It held off the Meyer-Shank Acura, which pitted, but then because they pitted to get new tires, then they couldn't get through the field, and the Valkyrie was fast enough to keep them behind them. So good on the Valkyrie guys. That car sounds fantastic. It's just there was somebody had a shot. It came through the hairpin, and then they had it heading out to go down Shoreline. I mean, so it was accelerating away, and it was just. It's really awesome. And then somebody had another shot about three quarters of the way down Shoreline when it's on full throttle. It's just wild.
Yeah, it's a great sounding car. I mean, looking at the best lap time of the race, it is nowhere near the fastest car on track. Like, if anything, it is the slowest GTP. And
yeah.
it's still like a half second off to the next, to the second slowest car. But, you said, it held off four other cars, I mean, granted, the
and the Acura it held off was Blomqvist and Braun.
Right. Yeah, that's so that's and not slow.
And the JDC.
Well, right.
Which is not exactly there's not two chumps in that car either.
No, but the JDC did do some
had a spin.
Self-inflicted damage of spinning.
Yeah, but still, it was on the same lap.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, they were able to get the fix and go out there. They were just at the tail end. It was just late in the race too.
Where the other happened, thing is. The other three, all these other cars, except for this one, the Valkyrie does not have the hybrid system.
Correct. Yeah.
So essentially, it's a true, I don't want to say a combustion engine car, and you don't have the hybrid assist on the brakes, you know, all that crap that these other cars have. I mean, this is a pure race car, as I look at it. You know, I'm not, you know, it doesn't have the gadgets.
It's just different, I would say. Yeah. And it's not... It's not that it's a... I mean, it's simpler, I would say. It's simpler. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just simpler. And because the...
But it's awesome.
The real difference is... cars like the Ferrari and the Toyota, where they have their electrical motor up on the front axle.
Right.
So, and as those opposed cars, to those... all the LMDH cars, now, like the Cadillac, BMW, Porsche, and
isn't the
Acura,
Ferrari an L? Isn't all the back. Ferrari's not an LMDH? It's a hybrid. It's a hypercar.
Yes, it's a hypercar. The
Aston, the Toyota I know is
So Aston Martin. Ferrari, Toyota, Peugeot,
yeah,
are all hypercars.
They're hypercars, but because the Aston doesn't have a hybrid system, it can run an IMSA without.
Well,
you didn't have to go through the homologation process that the other cars did.
No, it still did. It just they went through and. It is where it is. Like it
yeah. I don't care. It's awesome having it.
I'm waiting for when all the other manufacturers in WC will eventually come over here. I mean, Ferrari's welcome at any time, but they're not doing many customer teams, so they're holding out there.
Right. So here's the thing.
And then Toyota, I would have to think if they were to bring their cars over, it would be whenever this new GT3 car comes out.
Right. I don't know what you're talking about, this new GT3 car, but anyway.
Yeah, one that just hasn't been coming out for
that's
7 years.
That has now arrived on shore here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, cool. It might have been here before, but, you know, like in more of an official testing scene, yes.
Yeah, it was caught in public. Yeah. Looks pretty cool though.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that and I don't want to get into this. We can talk about this another time, but real quick, it's funny because both Ferrari and Toyota, they already paid the manufacturer fee for IMSA,
right?
Because we have Lexus, which is essentially Toyota, and we have Ferrari, which is in. Ferrari Challenge, but it's also in GTD. So yeah. I don't know what the deal is. And you're in the world's biggest car market, and Toyota, this is their largest market. And for Ferrari, I think we are.
The funny thing out of all this, when I went to Daytona for the 24, in the Toyota booth or setup that they had they had the hypercar sitting there.
They had the hypercar,
and it might have been last year's hypercar that they.
It still doesn't matter.
But still, I was like, why? Even if it's just a shell that's sitting there, why? you've gone through all this effort to bring over a tub, like just go take it out on track. It's you've won Le Mans. Why not try and go and win Daytona?
you don't have to run two cars here. You can run one car. Right. So, I mean, you know, just bring one car and bring your best drivers and run it. Who cares? I mean, Ferrari, just like everyone wants Ricci to run it. I don't necessarily know if they, you know, I think they're great at what they do, which is the GTD platform. But, I mean, you got Ganassi who can run it. Yeah. I mean, God knows you probably could get whatever it is with Andretti to oh no, they won't because it's Cadillac. I mean, you got Ganassi. I mean, Jesus, there's a team there. So, I mean, who's to say that couldn't be happening?
Yeah. Well, or, you know?
I mean, I,
or they could
why
be,
you don't need
be
like you said
for something else too.
Like you said too, Christian, it's what the Ford program.
Hold on, we'll wrap this up quick because we've
away from the race. Go ahead. The other big announcement for the week.
We didn't get to this last week
because it broke afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
It broke on Thursday.
Yeah, it was quick to see that, but yeah, McLaren finally announced that they're returning.
And everyone gets all fired up. Oh, well, they didn't announce an IMSA program. It's okay.
Yeah.
You got to walk before you crawl. I mean, walk before you run. So, I mean.
Right. And
like everyone's fired up. Oh, Ford didn't announce. I'm like, oh, Jesus. You know.
And I said that.
Acura doesn't run in WEC. Come on.
The Ford one, I did say that initially that I was kind of upset that they didn't say that they were going to commit to IMSA out of that press release. Because you're an American brand and you have an American sports car series here. Why would you not run here?
Yeah. So I mean, like, you know, whatever. I'm not sitting here and worrying about it. So,
and I think I know I'm still kind of getting ahead of myself to some degree because, yeah, not everyone is, you know, crossed over to the other side in a sense, but
yeah,
there's been commitments laid out for 26, 27, and 28 that manufacturers are going to swap over at some point, which is great. And that was the whole idea of this rule set too. And I just would like everyone to be able to cross over and do races whenever they want. I'm not a huge fan of how WEC has gone about it, where you have this two-car commitment and it doesn't seem like you can do a single entry race.
Right.
Because that just, it defeats the purpose. And you've just exiled Lamborghini out of it. And I know that they're going through their financial issues right now, but IMSA's left the door open to say, if you want to come run with us, come run. We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care what your commitment is, if it's one race or if it's four races or if it's the whole year. Run whatever it is you want to run. Again, like you've pointed out before, because IMSA hasn't committed to anything crazy, they've being kind of open to taking it race by race, essentially, in a very like less formal but formal way. They've kept their options open to themselves, where they don't have to commit one way or the other, and it still seems like this inviting structure.
Yeah,
to have everyone come over. So again, like Daytona to me would seem successful when, and even Le Mans, but both of those series would seem successful when you have to tell the LMP2 teams, sorry, you can't run. And it's not that I don't like that class at all. It's just you have a prototype class, a very healthy prototype class, top class, and a very healthy GT3 class.
Yep.
So if you're going to axe any class, it's going to be the LMP2 class. And again, it's not because I want to see those cars go. It's just it's a It's a good problem to have. Okay. With all that wrapped up, let's get back to Long Beach.
Oh, man. Long Beach. Oh, hold on. Sorry. There's some... the iRacing folks are the fact that they have leagues that promote this, they had an IMSA race with GTP and GTD cars on a short oval.
Yeah, it was the old Concord Speedway, the one in Charlotte.
It's friggin' fantastic. I love it. Anyways. All right. So Nazar and Tandy win. Three in a row for them. So they're leading the standings. And I believe we're off to... Where are we off to next?
Laguna.
It is. That's why they're testing there.
Stay West Coast. Yep, that too.
Wait, is that like in 2 weeks?
May 11th?
May 11th. Wow, it's a month. Okay. All right. It's exciting. All right. In GTD, Rexy with a fantastic pit strategy. Basically, they undercut the field, right? Yeah, they undercut the field. And boom, took the win. Fantastic job by them. And the Lexi finished 2-3. Good job by them.
A bit, I guess the story of the weekend was Robert Wilkins.
Let's talk really quick. Yeah, so Wilkins, this is his first step up into the big IMSA series.
Yeah,
GT3 car. And actually, I think it's first time in a GT3 car race-wise. So
he's done test days and whatnot, but first official race.
So this, and it was also the
especially
debut.
Since his accident.
This was two debuts. This was the debut, well, three debuts. It was first Wiki and GTD car, or GT3 car. Second, it was the DXDT team moving up from SRO to IMSA. So good to see them there, bringing Wickens in, and then Tommy Milner came over from the factory Cadillac team to be his co-driver. It also was the debut of the Bosch Pratt Miller designed what are they, hand control system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I don't know if anyone or if you watched it, but the video they had on it of how it worked was incredible.
Yeah. That system has been...
It's very cool.
I'm just trying to remember the history of all this, because I know... Well...
It's an evolution of the one that he was using in the Hyundai.
Yes.
This one now, he actually has more control/input into it,
mm-hmm.
meaning that he can arm and disarm the system. So when he comes into the pits, okay, and he's because he'll be like, say he's the starting driver, which makes sense. He's the starting driver. He comes into his pits when they do the driver change. He disarms the system. Essentially, what that does is that overrides everything back to foot pedals. So that it shuts down the handbrake and the hand accelerator that he uses, and then it goes to, you know, then it picks up, you know, he has the paddle shifts and all that. So Tommy Milner gets in, he's just driving the car normally. And Wickens throughout the weekend improved to the point where in the second practice session, he was the fastest car.
Yeah.
Qualified 6th or 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mean, he was disappointed. I was like, well, he qualified right in the middle of the pack. I mean, that's a pretty competitive field.
Right.
And especially with Robert doing the qualifying. That was a plus. Made a great start, did a great job. Got the car, kept the car in position, got the car to the pit stop. They made the pit stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then Who was? Oh, the Turner. Was the Turner car clip the rear? Oh, was it one of the Mercedes?
Yeah, I can't remember which one, but yeah.
It was down at the hairpin. It was a racing incident. It was a racing incident. Fortunately, the rear rear fairing got compromised, so you had to come in and get that taken care of, so that dropped them down the order. But overall, fantastic weekend. Look forward to seeing where they, you know, next race that they come back to, which will be great. I believe they're running the sprint formats. Is that what they're planning on?
Yeah, so instead of running the Endurance Cup, they're running the sprint
race. All right, and then news broke today that Robert's going to be driving in the 24 Hours of Nürburgring.
Yes, that's awesome.
In a Hyundai.
Yeah, yeah, and he'll be back in the TCR, but yeah. Still,
but who cares? Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Still, and just great news.
I mean, Rob, like you said, there's a video on his whole hand controls, which is awesome, but as far as getting drivers with a disability to drive again, I think the technology or the development around a product like this has been great, but also I think it's been just another step in the process ever since what was it, Sam Schmidt with his driving controls?
Yeah, with his his driving controls, right?
And his condition, it was different because he's
a quadriplegic.
So
yeah,
it didn't matter what they did with the steering wheel and pedals, because it wasn't any use to him. So the way they approached it was by reading his eyes and giving him a tube, essentially, that went into his mouth. And based on how hard he either pushed air out of his mouth or sucked air in was how hard or soft he would hit the throttle and brake. And then he steered the car with his eyes. So it was a very cool system that he was able to have developed for him, and I think that's still how he uses it to drive his road car. Like it's all road legal.
I mean, it's just the evolution of everything. It's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it really is. All right, let's move on to IndyCar.
Mm-hmm. Qualifying.
Yeah, qualifying. That was a strong result for Andretti and Honda.
Yes. One, 2 front row for Andretti, Kirkwood on pole, her second. And then, Honda, you said, took up 4 of the top 5.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find. Yeah. So we had Kirkwood, Herta, Pelot, Rosenquist, Marcus Ericsson. First, the Chevrolets was McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. Then we had Marcus Armstrong in the second Meyer Shank car, Rossi with ECR, and then first in the McLaren was Pato. Is that right? What was that? It was combined quali. Yeah, it was. Because the Fast 6 was Kirkwood, Herta, Pelot, Rosenquist, Ericsson, and McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. Why do I think... What happened to Lingard?
He's in 12th.
He was in 12th. So again, we had another mediocre day for McLaren. A very mediocre day for Penske. Another strong out running from Rossi and in his car. Malukas, my dark horse, was 10th. Mm-hmm. So, overall, I thought that was pretty good. The Hunkos guys, not the Hunkos guys, but the Prima guys, 22nd, 24th. They're not at the back of the field. So, and hey, good for them.
Well, I mean, they're in the back of the field, but they're not dead last. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not dead last. So, anyways. All right. Let's, shall we move on to the race? Mm-hmm. You want to kick it off?
So I didn't watch the race live, I tried watching the race live, but I was too focused on the Masters. So when I tuned in, I got
you. Unlike moi.
Well, I look. I didn't have two screens in front of me to.
Who would have thunk that in a Mexican restaurant that I would have the Masters on one screen and the IndyCar race on the other, and was sitting at the bar by myself. That's awesome. It's like, this is great.
Yeah, I was trying to switch back and forth, and when I first switched over, I was like, I don't know, 10 minutes into the race, so it was right when all the pit stops had kicked off, and I looked at the leaderboard. I was like, I have no idea where anyone is. Something just happened. So I like tried to find the start to see what happened online, and I was kind of like 50-50, and then I realized later on that there was two different strategies going on, and then I clicked off again, and then but when I went back on, I was even more confused at that point, because it was I'd like timed it just after all the pit stops or in the middle of a pit stop run. I was like, all right, I need to save this for later. So I did end up watching it, and it made way more sense. First off, kudos to Fox for updating their graphics a bit. I think they've taken a good step forward. They can still go further. But so far, so good.
There was the only thing I had. There were two things I had kind of. It was one thing. There was, and I also have a complaint with IndyCar about the, I watched FP1 on Friday, and they need to allocate another set of tires, because the cars sat there for 25 minutes, and they had a full house at Long Beach on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and there was the IndyCars weren't running. They were just sitting there. And then they come back, Fox does a good job of filling the gap in there of that, they'll no track action. But then as soon as they come back to it, things are heating up. They go to some story about the BorgWarner trophy. And I'm going, where does that fit in with this weekend? If you want to have that, put it in on the pre-show on Sunday, I didn't understand that, but anyways, and it interrupted the practice action, and they'll claim, well, it's practice. I go, well, that's why I want to watch it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, it's,
there's some production things that are still issues. So like you said, hopefully they get it worked out. There was better. I thought the coverage was overall better. I thought the stuff on Saturday, the stuff on Friday was good. They had Jack Harvey walking amongst the crowd, which was awesome, because honestly, there's not a whole lot in FP1 that you're going to talk about in the pits, but they had both Kevin Lee and him in the pits during qualifying, which is when it's needed. Cause that's when it's like, hey, they had a problem, or FP2 was, fairly benign. So, but yeah, like you said, it was overall good. I thought they did a great job of the race. Things like that.
Yeah.
Because McLaughlin and Herter kind of went out front, right?
Yeah. So let me
went to the front. Kind
of ease into that. So the green flag goes off. Andretti's 1-2. And it stays that way for what, the 5-7 laps. Newgarden pits on at the end of lap two.
Right. And, yeah, because he's trying to jump the field because he's got to make he needs to make something happen.
Right. Which it ended up working because the field was split between. Actually, this is another thing that caught me off guard. They've switched the terminology from alternates and primaries to softs and hards, which I don't mind because it does make everything easier to follow, especially between the two top or like all the top level open wheel stuff. But anyways, so basically strategy A was you start in the softs and then you went hard. Strategy B was you start on the hards and then you either went hard, soft, hard, or you went hard, soft, hard, and whichever order.
I mean,
so then basically after everyone's first stint cycled out, the guys on that started on softs lost out big time because they just they stayed out what seemed like a lap too long. And this race really was all about track positioning and how quickly you could get the tires fired up coming out of the pit because the delta on with cold tires was horrendous.
The two biggest losers in that were both McLaughlin and Herta.
Yes. Well, and the thing is Herta lost out to McLaughlin first and then McLaughlin lost out to everyone else. So Herta got shuffled back in the race and it was tough because he didn't have any other point during the race really to make up. And
both rebounded, but I mean the best they could do was get to 6th and 7th.
Like McLaughlin netted zero on that race, but Herta lost six positions,
five positions. But it was like when they lost out, and then you're watching the race, and they couldn't come through the field.
They were
just stuck.
Yeah,
it was like literally that's what happened. They got stuck.
Yeah, and I mean to Penske's credit, they played a really good race strategy. McLaughlin didn't. Yeah, he netted out zero, but Power was right there, and Newgarden was right there too.
Newgarden.
No, I know Newgarden had his problems, but up until that point, he was right there with them. Penske was. You know, they weren't. This is what I was alluding to earlier in the episode. Like, they weren't at the front winning the race, but. Being in the top five and hunting a podium is pretty good after considering a qualifying position.
I mean, overall, Kirkwood just was strong all weekend. So yes. Good on him.
And good Pelot, on Andretti for staying one step ahead of Pelot and just playing the track position game.
Right. No. But Pelot being Pelot.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to win the race, but he turned into Scott Dixon.
Yep.
And, I'll finish second. Got points. Lingard recovered, finished seventh. Great job there. The rest of McLaren is just I have a huge frustration level with them.
Oh, hold on, Lingard finished third, not seventh.
Third, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, you said seventh there.
Oh, sorry, I meant third. Yeah.
Well, and hold on. Before you go on the McLaren rant,
I'm not. I'm just
feeling Rosenqvist fourth.
Yeah.
After being in third for a lot of the race and just lost out to Lundgaard.
And honestly, two other guys that hell of a race. Both of them, Stingray Robb and Kiffin Simpson, 9th and 10th.
Yep. And
so good job by those guys. And they came from 19th and 17th in the field.
I do have to give him props for this. Santino Ferrucci started dead last and got all the way up to 11th.
So, and Schwartzman with a strong run, Malukas faded. Louis Foster moved up five places. Mm-hmm. Rossi did not have a good race.
No.
And Marcus Armstrong didn't have a good race.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at these four drivers right here, Erickson, Award, Armstrong, and Rossi, they just sank backwards.
Well, they went backwards like Herta went backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
So it
right, but Herta minimized the damage as yes. opposed yeah, to yeah. these guys. So, yeah, it was just a crazy strategy. But, you know, great race overall. I thought, you know, I like the fact that there was different strategies, so that was good.
Also, zero cautions.
Zero cautions. But yeah, there was, you know, no shenanigans. They had a nice clean start, you know, mm-hmm. professional, everything. So overall, good race. Overall, Long Beach, a huge success. They had a record-breaking crowd. They were sold out. Their reserve seats were sold out all 3 days. Don't know if they stopped selling GA tickets, but again, they had just a huge crowd. But the key is, This is my thing, and a lot of people don't like it, but there is so much on-track activity going on that weekend. Mm. From the historic cars, you know, going out and doing 5-10 laps at a time, at least something's on track.
Yep.
You got the IMSA guys there putting on their show. You had SRO with two races in their GT3 cars, and I think the GT4 cars ran too. So they had, you know, two races, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. You had the jumpy trucks, Robbie Gordon's thing, which is just crazy. And then at the end of the day, either you have jumpy trucks end of the day or you have Formula Drift. And again, you're in California, you're in Southern California. Drifting is a big thing out there. They just know how to put on a package out there. So, but it's just the fans are entertained all day long. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. I mean, That's how you make a successful weekend. And I mean, we were very fortunate for 1 year to go to Lime Rock, and it was we had SRO one for 2 days, IMSA for 2 days, and it was so much on track activity. It was amazing.
I was gonna say that was when it was like Michelin Pilot Series, Porsche Cup, Lamborghini, and
yeah,
I think there was yeah. something else too. Like
It was LMPC. Was it? Oh, was it? No, it was.
Yeah, it was prototype LMPC GT2
yep, and GTD and... GT whatever it was. Yeah, and the big Corvettes and stuff. So, anyways, yeah. but there was something going on all day. You
yeah.
know.
Yep.
And the other thing is, this is what happens at Watkins Glen for the 6 hours.
Yes.
There is just something going on all day for 4 days there. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, the weakest day, and I'm not kicking it, is Sunday, which is the 6 hour race.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but
no,
overall, you know,
right? It's all the there's a lot going on at
yeah.
sports car races. Like they're doing. Yeah. A good job of filling time and all yep. that stuff. I right. can't really speak to the F1 races of how they're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty regimented type thing.
Yeah,
so
some weekends are more full than others. I mean, like Australia seems great because they had
yep. Supercars and stuff. Yeah,
F1.
All right, let's why don't we get to Formula One?
Yeah,
I get a little bit of it. Time deadline tonight, unfortunately, because power went out. I need to go finish some work stuff. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All good.
All right, so IndyCar is sure. off until May 4th when they're back in your neck of the woods.
Barber. All right.
Barber.
Is that right?
Yep. Yep. Hopefully the bridge lady won't fall down on the track.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right.
She's back up, but hopefully she doesn't fall. All right, F1.
I feel like we could keep this one kind of short to some extent.
Yeah.
McLaren still the car to beat.
The car to beat, but I think the driver to beat now is Oscar Piastri.
Yeah. Yeah. Piastri puts it on pole and basically flag to flag.
Yeah.
Takes the win.
Yep.
There was a... towards the end of the race, there was a debris caution.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, it was very NASCAR-ish.
Yeah, I...
Anyways.
I get it. Just odd. I think that's how, like, everyone else was kind of viewing it, where it was like, I guess the situation at the time of the race must have been where, you know, there wasn't really a good gap for them to go out on track and get any of this stuff, because it was after Sainz and Tsunoda made contact.
Yeah.
I mean,
Oscar just, you know, he just did everything right. It was very, he did a very Max-like race.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not even Max. It's just whoever is the strongest driver in the strongest car.
Strongest car, yeah. I'm just equating to what Max would do when his car was, like, you know, consistently strong. Obviously the McLaren is consistently strong, but the thing is, Oscar doesn't make the little mental mistake.
No. And he just seems put together at this point. And
yeah, he's very I like him. He's very calm. He's very headstrong. He knows what's going on. I think something that's going to come to him is how what Max and Carlos do. I hope he morphs into this about calling the strategy of the race, you know? But just I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Mental capacity.
Yeah, I just don't know if that'll happen at McLaren because, it's probably we're the pit wall, we do what we want, you know? It's like, whereas both Max and Carlos see the bigger picture of the race, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, Max was race steward this weekend, too, which was.
Yeah. I guess before we get there, McLaren strong fast car all weekend. Mercedes second fast car all weekend. They just dropped the ball and had some bad luck with strategy with Antonelli.
Antonelli, they killed him. Yeah,
I guess we'll probably have to get into this first. So the medium tire was the tire to be on. Soft, it was okay, but just didn't last quite long enough. The hard could go long. It just was terrible on pace.
You weren't going to get any speed out of it.
So you just didn't really want to use it. The guys who started on softs, that seemed to be the strategy for a bit. But honestly, I think Ferrari had the strategy at the time because they, it was them and like a handful of other guys further back, that started on the medium and went pretty long, and they basically gave themselves the option to one stop versus two if they thought they could. But they ended up not committing to that. So then but I think they went to mediums again in their second stint, which I questioned a little bit just because of the possibility of a safety car coming out. Not that like, I mean, I know what it did, but. Lately with most F1 races you don't have a safety car come out, so you're not really too worried about that, but so like the pace difference as it was going on, like if you kind of sucked it up and dealt with a few bad slow laps at the start to go just a little bit longer and extend that first stint, it really paid off in the later ones. And so, I mean, Red Bull, I think really shot themselves in the foot this week with strategy, because they went with, especially on Verstappen, they went from soft to hard, and there just was nothing. And I know,
yeah,
I know Max's radio will probably get highlighted a bit more, and as he gets a bit more vocal when he's not in the fastest car up in the front. So you'll hear him sound more concerned, but I mean, he was also very open about the fact that he knows he doesn't have the fastest car.
Yeah.
So for any of this, it's really just damage limitation and doing the best that they can, but having bad strategy doesn't help anyone. So it really wasn't a great move. I guess out of every team that I'm going to go through, Ferrari, I think, had the best strategy for tires. And then, but their call to go into hards at the, whenever the safety car came out, just surprised me a little bit. I thought if they had another set of mediums in there, that they would have been fine. To go at the end. Tsunoda, I mean, he seemed closer, and I know he scored in the points in this race, but honestly, Q3 rolled around and he was still 3/4 of a second off of Verstappen.
Yeah.
And Max wasn't anywhere near the top of the times. Like, I think he qualified 6th or 7th as well.
I mean, Max, obviously the car, there was like braking issues, things like that. There was an overheating issue, and then the whole tire thing. I mean, for such a sled that he's driving, just to get 6th was good. I also have to commend Hamilton for fighting through and staying and getting 5th.
Yes.
You know, so that was good. I think 3 guys I want to highlight. I mean, and congrats to Yuki, but again, you're driving a Red Bull. You should be, you know, as long as unlike Kimi, as long as your team doesn't hose you on the strategy, Yuki should be finishing in the top 10.
Yeah.
But I'd like to just point out, Gasly, fantastic race. Ocon and Berman, once again, get plus points.
Double points.
Doing good race, and then I think he fell victim to the strategy as well.
I wanted to make sure we highlight. Like, his result may not say it, but Doohan drove a heck of a race.
Yeah, was strong all weekend.
I thought
this was probably Hadjar's most average weekend, but again, he handled himself well.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, good on him. I just really wanted to point out Gasly, Ocon, and Berman. I thought all 3 of those guys did a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, Gasly was running in 6th, and then Max got him at the end, so.
Right.
Which we never saw.
No, we never did. And I didn't.
Why would you want to show that?
I saw this comment too. When Piastri crossed the start finish line, he got relegated to the small box of the TV. They didn't flash to him.
Oh.
Like on the big picture when he crossed the finish line, and you know, I get it, he dominated the race, but like, that's, if you're not going to show him for the whole race, like, at least show him when he wins. Like, I do think that that's a good point to make, or, you know, go do split screen instead.
Yeah.
And have him on like the top screen and whatever other battle you're watching on the bottom. And like, and they were focused on Russell and Norris, and I was like, but at that point Lando wasn't going to get George.
So, granted,
I know Verstappen got Gasly at the end, coming out of that last corner to the line, but in 9 times out of 10, that's not a move that's been made. So
right,
it was, yeah, the TV direction is always questionable at times.
Yeah.
And there were a few other moments during the race where like a move was happening and then they cut to something else. Like, I thought Lewis was making a move on Sainz, and then they cut to Leclerc further up the road, and I was like, he'd just stay on it. Like, it's fine. You have replay for a reason. You don't need to cut from one to the other and get, like, half of both, you know? So, yeah. I think that's about it. And with all of this said, we're pretty critical on a few of these guys, but the field was very close together for what it was. And I know the safety car helped in keeping it together, but I mean, really, like, the field was close because when the strategy calls were being made, guys were reacting within a lap or two because of how close they were. And when the front guys were reacting too quick, they were getting themselves caught out in traffic, which then opened up the gap to whoever they were trying to chase or keep behind. There wasn't, like, you know, a bunch of races we've had in the past where guy out in front gets 50 seconds ahead and he's a whole pit stop clear and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, getting caught up in the field, the mess in the field behind him. But
right.
This week you did have to be concerned about that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now we're on to Jeddah this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you have Nate's picks?
I do. And he is optimistic this week for sure.
All right.
So he's gone for a Ferrari 1-2 with Hamilton winning and Leclerc second.
Ooh, I like that.
And then
I do like that.
And then he's got Antonelli rounding out the podium.
Oh, look at that. So he doesn't think McLaren's going to keep form this weekend.
He thinks something bad is going to happen between the two of them. And his dark horse is none other than his countryman, Gasly.
All right. I am going to go with Piastri.
All right.
I'm going to follow that up with Charles.
Okay.
And then I think Max returns to the podium.
All righty.
My dark horse, I'm going to go Ocon.
All righty. I'm kind of similar to yours. I think McLaren will keep 1-2. I think Piastri will stay on top and go back to back.
Okay.
And then I just don't see Ferrari up there at the moment. So Russell's in third and Behrman's my dark horse.
Gotcha. Ooh, I like that. Oh, our Haas guys are our dark horse.
Yeah.
Exciting. That's really cool. All right.
Yeah. Jeddah this weekend. WEC is back. Imola, 6 hours. Other than that, I don't think there was any other racing. If you need something else to watch, Super Formula is at Twin Ring Motegi.
Super Formula.
So that's it's the second race weekend, so it's rounds 3 and 4.
Does MotoGP have another race this weekend?
Not this weekend.
This weekend, okay.
They are the following weekend. They
Weekend, okay.
They're at Jerez.
Jerez, okay.
Or Jerez, right. Either way.
They're back on the continent.
On Europe, yeah.
Alright. Very exciting. All right.
So, yeah.
And on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott,
and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.